Three past the hour of 8 o'clock at News Radio KMAN. There's a slight chance of a shower or thunderstorm yet through 9 o'clock this morning. Becoming partly sunny this afternoon with a heat advisory going into effect at 1 and running through 9 o'clock tomorrow night. 98 for today's high, 101 tomorrow with heat index values climbing up to 107. We currently check in with some rain this morning in the area. It's 72 in Manhattan. Along with Brandon Peoples, I'm Troy Coverdale. We're joined on the phone by Senator Jerry Moran as Congress enjoys a August recess period before getting back to work in September.
That's right. Senator Moran, thank you for joining us here this morning. We really appreciate it.
Brandon, you're starting my week away from Washington, D.C. On the air with K-Man, and I appreciate it. Good to be with you and Troy. Although, doesn't sound like much of a vacation, a 107 heat index in Manhattan.
The lucky thing about that is it's only supposed to be the one day this week. We'll take that.
Oh, good. Well, I'll be out across Kansas for the next couple of weeks enjoying, I don't know, that you all call it a vacation. I think a long time ago, before there was air conditioning, it became the tradition of the Congress to adjourn for the month of August because of the heat and humidity in Washington, D.C. And we've continued that practice, and it does give us a chance to spend time with, in my case, Kansans, and make sure that they have a chance to tell me what's on their minds. And when asked, I can tell a little bit about what my explanation is for what's going on in Washington.
Is that really like the most rewarding part of the job here? I know we don't really talk about that a whole lot, but getting away from Washington and actually getting to visit with Kansans?
Well, Brandon, as you know, we live in Kansas. We never moved to Washington, D.C., so I'm back in our state every weekend. And I really think if I had to endure the talk of politics, the focus of the nation's capital 7 days a week, this is would be a totally different job. I appreciate the chance I have. And, in fact, much of the satisfaction of the job comes, sometimes it's from legislation, but it's often in just a conversation with a person and you discover there's a way you can help them solve their problem, often with something that government is doing or not doing. And this job, this title that Kansans have given me creates a greater opportunity to figure out, well, that's something we might be able to fix in somebody's life. And that provides great value. But I always prefer being in Kansas to being in the nation's capital.
One of the things that we noted last week was the passage from the Senate of the NDAA. For those who don't know, that's the 2024 National Defense Authorization Act, and it includes a lot of things here for military members, and does a lot for Fort Riley as well. I want to get into that if we could a little bit. We'll talk first what it does for service members, but then also infrastructure upgrades that will be proposed for Fort Riley in that.
Well, thank you. This is one of the most important pieces of legislation that the Congress considers. We consider it every year. It's called the National Defense Authorization Act. I believe the Senate is on a track for this to be the 51st or second consecutive year in a row that we've been able to come together and pass this piece of legislation. The House has previously passed a version of this bill. It will take some effort to reconcile the differences. But it is one of the things that still remain. In fact, we take pride in the fact that we can still pass NDAA in a bipartisan manner year after year after year. It's become more difficult just as other pieces of legislation in some cases have become nearly impossible to get passed in a bipartisan fashion. This one still has a history that we try to live up to. And I would say, yes, it is important for the Manhattan and Junction City region, for Fort Riley. But I would say that our country faces, in my view, among the greatest challenges that we have ever faced in regard to our well-being, the country's future, our freedoms and liberties, our national defense and national security. And this NDAA is focused on critical investments in our nation's weapon supply. Stockpile, as we know, Taiwan is certainly in the news with a decision by the administration to send more ammunition and weapons to Taiwan. But you add to that, of course, what's transpiring with Russia's invasion, Putin's invasion of Ukraine, and the need for the Ukrainians to have weapons. Our ability, along with our allies, to meet those needs has been difficult. And this legislation tries to improve the supply chain, a hugely important issue. And then over the weekend, there was a national news story about China, their military infusing our systems, both government and private sector systems, with bugs that could cause would allow the ability for China to intrude on our internet system during a time of war. Cybersecurity is front and center, and this legislation is designed to put the tools in place to utilize the latest technologies to protect our cybersecurity, both domestic and government. So big issues, this legislation matters. I also would say the Defense Appropriations Subcommittee, of which I'm a member, our bill was approved by the full Appropriations Committee last Thursday, the day before NDAA was passed. So it was a defense week in Washington, all designed to try to improve our capabilities. And finally, before I get to the Fort Riley specifics, what we face at Fort Riley and elsewhere. Now, Fort Riley has the most significant re-up. The re-enlistment numbers are the highest in the country at Fort Riley. But across the nation, signing up, enlisting, is a challenge for all branches of the military, but especially for the Army. And it's contemplated there may be up to 40,000 fewer soldiers in the military because they are not being recruited and they're not signing up. This bill is designed to improve the issues that soldiers and their families face, including a pay raise once again, but also improvements in housing, in education, and in health care for those who serve. And now, to your question, the specific of Fort Riley, the money to construct aircraft maintenance hangar at Fort Riley, planning of a new air traffic control tower at Fort Riley, money for the power generation and microgrid that we funded in 2003 to continue that. And so significant and important kind of infrastructure improvements at Fort Riley. And included in our defense appropriation bill was money for the Bob Dole rail yard. We need to make certain that we do everything to be capable of transporting our soldiers and equipment rapidly in times of deployment. And there's an image out there of Fort Riley being in the middle of nowhere. So how our rail yard functions is a real issue for the way that Fort Riley has a future.
One of the aspects of that, and you alluded to it, was the air traffic control tower getting a $1.6 million planning and design price tag from the Senate in this NDAA. As you look to make moves to allow the military to maneuver quicker from Fort Riley when called upon, that is a necessity as well, given that we seems like we're constantly upgrading what our air capabilities are.
Well, one of my goals has been to make certain that at the appropriate time, Fort Riley has another brigade. At the moment, we're trying to make sure that Fort Riley has a strong future, and that infrastructure we have put. We started with getting Irwin Army Hospital complete. We continued with additional schools on post for middle school and elementary students of soldiers' families. Last year, we appropriated, and the planning is occurring right now, for additional barracks at Fort Riley. And now we're back to the basics of how do we make certain that we have the capabilities and that the Army, big Army, understands that Fort Riley is a place to invest in. Because, in fact, time after time, Fort Riley wins the speed award for being able to deploy troops and equipment to ports and around the globe. So it is this infrastructure matters to the future of Fort Riley. And of course, Fort Riley's future is hugely important to this region, but to our entire state and nation.
Going forward, how tough of a negotiation is this going to be with members of the House, given that some of the items that were put in the NDAA from their side have what they've effectively termed as poison pills?
Well, the Senate, to pass legislation in the Senate, it takes 60 votes. And so anything that would be, quote, a poison pill means that the bill isn't going to pass. The Republicans in the House were able to pass NDAA along almost strictly partisan lines. And again, when those negotiations will occur, it's going to take some alterations in order to get to the point in which 60 Senate votes are available for the bill. None of this will be very easy, and as has been reported, and that many of the issues are what are somewhat termed cultural, wokeness, the things that the military and are doing in regard to kind of cultural issues, and those, of course, are very contentious and difficult to resolve. But in my view, there is a need at a time in which our nation faces challenges in Europe, and potentially, we certainly face challenges in the South Pacific. We need to, again, find paths to get together and protect our country through authorizing this legislation and then appropriating the dollars to pay for it.
All right. So you go back. When do you go back to D.C., Senator?
I am in Kansas until I complete a couple of Labor Day parades and off to the nation's capital.
And then it's kind of a tight window there to get some stuff done here before the start of the new fiscal year, right?
Our fiscal year starts October the 1st, and so we have a full month. Senator Schumer, the majority leader, promised us that we would do 12 appropriation bills before the end of this fiscal year, September the 30th. And that keeps us out of a continuing resolution or a shutdown. That's a lot of work to do 12 bills. All 12 bills have been passed, broadly supported by the Senate Appropriations Committee, by both Republicans and Democrats. Now we need to march those bills across the floor during the month of September and meet in the, and while all that is going on, NDAA needs to be reconciled with the House.
I would suggest getting rest, but I know that that's not going to happen here over the course of the next few weeks.
You know, one of the new committee assignments that I have, and it makes it more difficult to sleep, in January, I was appointed to the Select Committee on Senate Intelligence, or the Senate Intelligence Committee. I shouldn't say Senate Intelligence. Which means that every day, at least 2 days a week, I get briefings from the intelligence community about what's going on. They occur in a skiff in a room that is confidential, and it is one of the things that make it more difficult to sleep. But more importantly, it's one of the things that challenged me to do my job better to protect the country, because there are so many things going on that are consequential to our country's liberties and freedom, our country's future, and the safety and security of the American people. We have our work cut out for us, and I appreciate you focusing on NDAA and defense. It is easy for us to see the value of the investment in defense in our neighborhood. It is important for that investment in defense for the future of our country.
Absolutely. Senator, best of travels to you here through the state over the next few weeks. We'll hopefully catch up to you soon again.
I'd like that. Thank you very much. Thank you both.
Senator Jerry Moran joining us this morning on KMAN's Morning News. Again, as the August break is in place now for Congress before they resume conversations in September on the NDAA and funding matters as well. 17 past as we continue on KMAN.